Hopefully you still have your Bibles open to Jonah chapter 2. We're moving into chapter 2 today, so we're making some progress here in this little book. I thought the duet was great. It tied in well with our theme that we're going to be looking at today. So just for review, Jonah was a famous man of God, well-loved, liked. In his day, the people thought highly of him. He had a successful ministry. God said, I'm going to give you something else I want you to do. I want you to go to Nineveh and preach to the people of Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to do it, so he ran in the other direction. So what is God going to do? Is God going to let Jonah get away, or is God going to go after Jonah? And we saw last week that God is going after Jonah, and praise God for that, folks, because there was a day when, if you're a Christian, when the Lord went after you, and he went after me. And maybe there's someone you're praying for today that's unsaved or away from the Lord. All you need to do is pray back to the Lord, the book of Jonah, about that person that you care a lot for. Well, as we pick up chapter 2, Jonah has been thrown into the sea by the sailors, and this is the first time that we hear anything about Jonah since he's been thrown into the sea. Now, God has already prepared a fish for him. God is always a step ahead of Jonah. God has a purpose that he wants to accomplish, and he wants to teach Jonah something. So this is the first time that we see Jonah pray. God said, go to Nineveh. He didn't pray about it. He just said, no, I'm not going to do it. He ran to Joppa. He went in the opposite direction. He didn't pray. He didn't ask for wisdom or guidance. He bought his ticket. The storm of God came upon the ship and all that were in the ship. The captain wakes him up and said, pray. And Jonah did not pray. When you're living like a rebel, you will not find yourself praying. You will find yourself doing a lot of things, but you will not pray. The combination of rebellion and prayer do not fit together. Jonah didn't want to talk to God. Now Jonah wants to pray. What's changed? Well, things look very different. Your circumstances look very different when you're inside of a fish. Now, I don't know what that means. I've never been inside of a fish, but I think there are different kinds of fish and things that we can be inside of, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But when you find yourself there, things look very different. So let's now open up chapter 2. This is Jonah's prayer, and let's take this slow as we work through the first few verses. Read verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. So let's break it down. Then Jonah prayed. Now, folks, prayer is the mark of a believer. Don't ever doubt that. Wherever someone is, whatever they're doing, wherever you find them, whatever state they're in, unbelievers do not pray. Only Christians pray. So that's a good sign. We're opening up here this chapter pretty good. Jonah prayed. So why did he pray? Now my translation says, then Jonah prayed. The Hebrew could be translated, and Jonah prayed. When he's in trouble, he prays. He prays because he thinks he's in great danger. He thinks he's about to die. And other than the hand of God, he is about to die. When you pray about anything, that is a good thing. His prayer is born out of fear, is born out of suffering, is not born out of love. But we'll take what we can get right now. Now he is running to God. Now I want to take you, you can stay where you are. I want to go to Acts chapter 9, which is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. This chapter is the story of Saul, who persecuted the church, and he killed Christians, and he's then saved. The Lord meets him on the road to Damascus and confronts him and saves his soul. And he's now known as Paul, and the Lord takes his sight away. He's blind. And the Lord speaks to one of his servants, a man that I really want to get to know when we get to heaven. This is the only time I find him in the Bible, Ananias. But what the Lord asked this man to do and what he did is strong. This is the same thing as asking Jonah to go to Nineveh, to ask this man, Ananias, to go meet with Paul, who was a murderer. So now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And the Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street called Straight, okay, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Now right then is when we would add our butts, because he knows who this man is. This man kills Christians. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man that such harm he did to your saints in Jerusalem. I'm questioning this, Lord. But the Lord said, Go, for he is my chosen instrument to bear my name to the Gentiles. And Ananias departed. My point there, and I got off of it a little bit, is that Paul was praying. If the Lord takes your eyesight away, you might find yourself praying. He's in trouble again. Now, at this point with Jonah, even though he's praying, let's not lose our focus yet, he is still a very troubled man. When did he pray? After 3 days of being inside a fish. This man is very, very stubborn. Are you praying for someone today that's stubborn? Is he or she as stubborn as Jonah? 3 days. He was afraid of God's revealed will, which was go to Nineveh. And he rebelled and he said no. Now he is praying for God's help. This is an emergency call to heaven. This is a 911 call to heaven. This is the first time in this book that Jonah has reached out to God. In chapter 1, verse 6, in the middle of the storm, the captain said, Pray, and he said, No, I won't do it. Jonah now reaches out to the one that he's running from. Now, this is the best line that we have heard from Jonah yet. Maybe Jonah's thinking, Wow, maybe God is serious about this going to Nineveh. He's now very willing to pray. He's in serious trouble, and he knows it. He's thinking, I don't want to die. So Jonah now begins his life inside a fish. As far as Jonah is concerned, he has no idea how long he will be there. A day, a week, a month, the rest of his life, years. He thinks, I'll probably die here. So Jonah changes his mind. Why? Because he believes it is the only possible way out of the fish is to pray and to reach out to God. R.T. Kendall said this, The belly of the fish is not a happy place to live, but it is a great place to learn. And I would say to you, he's in the belly of the fish, but there are different kinds of bellies of the fish that you could find yourself in. It might not be a real fish, but it could be something else that could have you in the same position as this. Matthew Henry said, Jonah now has business at the throne of grace, and that's a great place to be. So yes, Jonah is a mess, but he's a real believer. Don't lose track of that. Unbelievers do not pray. When did he pray from the stomach? 3 days. Where did he pray? From the stomach. Lesson, you can pray anywhere. Wherever you are, you can pray to the Lord and he will heal you. Jonah is now in prison. This is his form of prison. And when David was in the cave and hiding from his enemies, I said to you that there are different kinds of caves. You might be struggling with a marriage. There are different kinds of prisons. You might be struggling with a health concern or whatever it may be. I was thinking about Andrew Brunson when he was in prison in Turkey and how we prayed for him. And the Lord got him out. And I think we had a part of that. We had a piece of that because we prayed on a regular basis for him. There are different kinds of prisons. But Jonah now sees that he is in God's hand. He sees the Lord in it. Now, as a Christian, you are well on your way to fixing your problem with the Lord when you realize that God is correcting you and that you need it. That's a good sign. If you pray in a humble way, wherever you are, God expects you to come to Him. You are welcome there. There's nothing that you and I can do that is so bad and so terrible that God doesn't want us to come to Him. Anything you do as a Christian, if you repent of it and deal with it in your life, the Lord says, come. Even after putting Jonah in this fish, Jonah starts to pray and the Lord is hearing his prayer. So folks, we are blessed when the Lord corrects us and we don't rebel against it. We need to look to the Lord and ask for grace wherever we are, whatever we've been through. All right, let's go on to this verse. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. This is now very, very personal. This is a me and you kind of thing. This is a private moment between Jonah and his God. Jonah can't run anymore. Now he's seeking his God. Being inside of a fish can change a rebel into a man of prayer. And that's a good thing. Where did he pray? He prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. So can a man live inside a fish? He can if God wants him to. I found out some facts about the inside of a fish, something I'll share with you. The heat inside the stomach of a fish is supposed to be somewhere between 104 degrees and 108 degrees. So it's going to be very, very hot. There's all kinds of gases and juices there that are bumping up against him. There are probably smaller fish that are still alive, that are swimming around in his stomach, that are bumping up against this guy. It's dark. He can't see his hand in front of him. Yet, living in the fish is not the miracle I want you to see. Jonah praying is the real miracle. That's what you need to focus on. Now, this prayer is important. This is a small book. There are only four chapters in this book, and Jonah's prayer occupies one whole chapter, chapter 2. 25% of the book is devoted to his prayer. And he prays from the stomach of the fish. The Hebrew word on the word stomach could be translated womb. So when did he pray? As he was sliding down his throat? No. As soon as he hit bottom? No. 3 days later. What took him 3 days? Maybe he's writing out his prayer and getting it just right, and he's gonna present it to the Lord just the way that he wants it to be. I don't think so. You don't pray a prepared prayer when you're in times of trouble. You get right to it. You hit it. You don't create this special prayer when you're in a time of an emergency. So one of the points is Jonah is now on his way to being restored, but he's not there yet. God knows how to bring us back. God knows what you need and what I need and what your friends and family need when they're living outside of God's will and the Lord wants to bring them back. So now Jonah needs grace. He said no to the sailors. He said no to the captain. The sailors couldn't make him pray. God knows what we need to bring each one of us back. And what you need may not be what I need. He knows what Jonah needs. So listen to Jonah now. He said, I called out to the Lord. I called out. So this is very personal. This is Jonah himself talking to you, talking to me. Now, sometimes it's good for us to remember what it's like to be hopeless. When was the last time that you had something in your life and you just thought it was hopeless? You thought it was helpless. Have you ever been in a hopeless situation? Sometimes as Christians, we grow cold, we grow hard. That's what's happening here. He had been running from God. Who does he pray to? To the Lord, his God. So God hears prayer wherever we are. Backsliders are encouraged to come back to the Lord. I want to read you verse from Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 22. Jeremiah 3:22. Return, O faithless sons. I will heal your faithlessness. That's the word of the Lord. Now let's also back and hear a word from our buddy Job. After all that Job has been through, Job 36:13. 36:13. But the godless in heart lay up anger. They do not cry for help when he binds them, when the Lord binds them. Again, prayer is a sign of a believer. Did Jonah pray when the captain asked him to? No. But now he finds himself ready to pray. So God drops him into the sea. Even as he's in the sea, he's thinking, if I repent now, I'm going to have to go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah had to hit bottom first. And that's something that we all have to do when we get that hard and that cold and that away from the Lord. He had to hit bottom. The captain asked a man of God to pray, and the man of God said no. So do you ever have trouble praying? Is there unconfessed sin that's stuck in your throat that you need to deal with? You need to remove it. You need to deal with it. I need to deal with it. Finally, Jonah prays. So this is the first time that Jonah speaks directly to God. This is Jonah at his best. Whenever we have somewhere else to turn, we will. You'll say, I can handle this on my own. I can do it. I got this. If there's somewhere else that you and I can turn, we will turn there. We will not turn to the Lord many times until we're at the end of our rope. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. So verse 2 is the theme of his prayer. Notice what he says. I called out of my distress to the Lord. Distress. He's describing his situation. He's thinking, I'm as good as dead. My former professor at Greenville Seminary, O. Palmer Robertson, wrote a commentary on the book of Jonah. And in his commentary, he said this. Jonah writes, I called out of my distress. Dr. Robertson called it imagined distress. Imagine distress. What does he mean by that? If the Lord is sovereign and you and I are in his hand, is there really distress if God has the situation in his hand? Or is it imagined distress? That's something to think about. Are all of our distress in God's eyes could be imagined distress? Let me read to you Psalm 119, verse 67. I love this verse and what it teaches. David writes, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. That's Jonah. So Jonah had become numb to God. He's sinking fast. He's trying to handle it on his own. It's like fighting the air. It's not going to work. Jonah is honest now about his problem. But notice in verse 2, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. Notice, God hears the prayer of this wandering rebel. He refers to God in the third person. He answered me. Then he switches to a more personal you. He cries out for help. For Jonah, the only way up is down. Now this is just God and Jonah. So we learn that God can hear and answer the prayers of millions of people at the same time and deal with each one of them in a proper way. Now I have three children. When we had our first child, we handled that, I think, pretty well. We had two children, added Crystal. Crystal was an easy little girl to raise, and That was okay. Then we got a third one. Now, it wasn't just the third child. It wasn't anything about Kevin. Having three was just difficult. When there's two of us, three of them, it became much more difficult. God doesn't have that problem. God can handle all of His children at the same time, wherever they are and whatever their needs are. Words be said about chapter 2, prayer is a miracle. William Law said, "He who has learned to pray has learned the greatest secret of a happy and holy life." Why pray? Why pray, Jonah? Because Jonah sees God's hand in all of this. He doesn't see Mother Nature. He sees the Lord. And we learn more about God's grace at the bottom. However you want to define it, that's where we learn more about God's grace. The key is praying at the bottom. If you want to hear from God, you need to involve His Word in your prayer when you pray to Him. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. "For you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring Word of the Lord." The Word of the Lord needs to be involved in our prayers. One writer calls this the Jonah principle. Now think about Peter. Peter sinned. He denied the Lord, which was a terrible, terrible sin. He sinned around the fire. Jesus confronts him later on. He confronts him around the fire. Peter sinned three times. Jesus confronts him three times. "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" But that's what it took. The Lord needed to deal with that. Peter needed to deal with that. What's one of the lessons? Return to God's Word. Now in verse 2, he also says, "I called out of my distress to the Lord, and He answered me. I cried for help from the depths of Sheol." Now what does that word mean? And by the way, does its prayer sound familiar to you? Now maybe you don't notice it, haven't noticed it yet because we haven't really got into it. But he is praying the Psalms to the Lord. When he's in trouble, he's praying the Psalms. Now, the word Sheol means from the belly of hell, one writer said. Or it could mean the grave, where the dead go. He's thinking, the belly of this fish is going to be my grave. Jonah is now desperate. He thinks that he has been abandoned by God. Well, let me read to you from Mark chapter 15. Mark 15, verse 33. "When the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Now, Christ was abandoned because the sin of the world, your sin, my sin, was placed on Him. He wasn't abandoned because of his own sin. God sent the waves and the storm of hell itself on Jesus Christ. The Apostles' Creed said He descended into hell. That's what it's talking about. We read again from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Christ bore that storm. He bore that sin so that you and I would not have to. Christ came to calm the storms in your life and my life. Now let's go back to what we find. Verse 2. Last part. "And He answered me." So Jonah starts praying the Psalms, which you're going to see in the weeks to come. Why did he pray the Psalms? Well, first of all, this is God's Word. Jesus Christ died for God's Word. This means everything to the Lord, His Word. If you're in trouble, open your Bible and pray God's Word back to Him. The Lord wants to hear His Word prayed back to Himself. And I believe that Jonah was raised on the Psalms. He heard it in school. He heard it in church. He heard it at home from his parents. It's been drilled into him. So now he can be a rebel and he can run, But when the Word of God is poured into a child, it's going to come out, even if he doesn't want to. It's there. It's going to stay. He read the Psalms. He sung the Psalms. 8 times Jonah quotes from the Psalms here. Is he a believer? You bet he is. Is he where he needs to be? Not yet, but he's on his way. All right, as far as Jonah's prayer, I want to give you 3 things about this prayer. The first thing we see is an awakening. An awakening. Look at verse 3. For you have cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. Do you see God active in your life? Do you see the Lord active in your life? Notice what he said. You cast me into the deep. The sailors didn't do it. Mother Nature didn't do it. Lord, you cast me. Remember, Jonah knows his Bible. He's well trained. He looks past second causes, and he sees the first cause, which is God. And we Christians spend way too much time looking at second causes, myself included. And there's a lot of second causes right now that we could be focused on. The politics in this country now are terrible. If I ever thought, I thought it couldn't get any worse, but it's getting worse. Buildings being burned down, our elected leaders not doing anything about it, looking the other way. Who would have thought you'd see that in America? There's a lot to be discouraged about. There's a lot going on. The virus is becoming political. He sees God. He's not looking at the first cause or the second cause. He's looking at the first cause and he sees the Lord. So Jonah believes in a sovereign God. Jonah knows that he's in big trouble and that God caused it, that God did it. So is he mad at the sailors? No. Is he mad at the captain? No. So the first part of prayer involves waking up. You start to see God in your life in a totally different way, in a new way. You start to see the holiness of God. You see your own sin and not your neighbor's sin. And that's something I'm working on, trying to work on in my life, to see my own sin and not my neighbor's sin. Jonah was asleep physically, and he was asleep spiritually. Jonah had drifted away from the Lord. Jonah was a prophet. He was God's go-to man. But something went wrong in the hearts of this believer. So now, before this chapter, there were limits on what Jonah was willing to do for God. He was in a slow spiritual decline. It was silent. It was quiet. But it was a decline. Going to God's house wasn't as important as it used to be. Being a part of the Lord's Supper is just something that we do. It doesn't have a meaning anymore. So that's where Jonah was. Until God sent the storm. So the storm was a good thing in Jonah's life. As bad as it seemed, it was a good thing. So what storms has God sent your way? Wherever you find yourself, it is God who put you there. Now I want to close with a quote from Johnny. And Janie has told me that when I talk about Johnny, I need to explain just a few minutes because years have gone by and a lot of people aren't familiar with who Johnny is. But when Johnny was a teenager, she was diving into the Chesapeake Bay. She hit her head. She broke her neck. She was paralyzed from the neck down. And she didn't appreciate it. She rebelled against the Lord, which would be expected. I'd probably rebel too. But she got to the point where she saw the Lord working in her life through that, what we would call an accident. She's now 70 years old in that wheelchair with a worldwide ministry, probably to millions of people. Listen to what Johnny said. I really don't mind the inconvenience of being paralyzed if my faithfulness to God while in this wheelchair will bring glory to Him. When God brings suffering into your life as a Christian, be it mild or drastic, He is forcing you to decide on issues you have been avoiding. He is pressing you to ask yourself some questions. Am I going to continue trying to live in two worlds, obeying Christ and my own sinful desires, or am I going to refuse to worry? Am I going to be grateful in trials? Am I going to abandon my sin? In short, am I going to be like Christ? He provides the suffering, but the choice is yours. But today, as I look back, I am convinced that the whole ordeal of my paralysis was inspired by His love. I wasn't a rat in a maze. I wasn't part of some cruel divine joke. God had reasons behind my suffering, and learning some of them has made all of the difference in the world. So now, where we are today, we have to ask ourselves, do you see the reason behind your suffering? How are you going to react to it? As she said, the choice is yours. Are you going to rebel like Jonah? Or are you going to pray and come back to the Lord like Jonah's doing now and like Johnny did, and now she's being used by the Lord? The choice is yours and the choice is mine. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for bringing Jonah back and bringing us back. You can't, if anyone's a believer here, it's because you went after him, you went after her, and you brought us back. We thank you for that. We thank you for the ministry of Johnny and the way that you have used her and over these years from the wheelchair to influence millions and millions of your people. So help us, Lord, to see you in the storms of our life and to learn from them. We pray and ask in Jesus' name, amen.